Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by a, once again, fedorad Harrison Fagan. The last time you were on here, you had a little bit of fun because you were able to get on here and just make a bunch of loud noises. Today, it's a completely different vibe. The Lakers wind up moving up from the 11th spot up to the 4th spot, leapfrogging the Cleveland Cavaliers in the process. Knicks fans, we get to laugh at them. They get the number 3 pick in a 2-player draft. And the
New Anthony, Orleans... the Lakers have the number 4 pick in a 2-player draft.
Yeah, but we know that they aren't keeping it.
So, I guess the Lakers have LeBron and the Knicks only have probably KD and Kyrie.
Maybe. It's yeah.
I know.
Here's my
You just want to make fun. Like, your default is not like this is honestly why you're such like a natural avatar for, you know, Lakers fans on Twitter and at large is like you're like a little bit of a terrorist. It's just like your first thought when something good happens is like, who can I laugh at and make fun of? It's our time to shine again. You're the Lakers chain guy in audio form.
No, but all right. I think this whole idea of like, oh, the Clippers are coming and the Knicks are back. Like, one, the Knicks haven't been back in 40 years. I think we're going
to
be
You made fun of the Cavs, but you missed the biggest one to make fun of is the Celtics.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's just...
How's that Anthony Davis trade package looking now? Like, after the playoff flameout where Kyrie basically all but did the LeBron thing of taking off his jersey and throwing it into the crowd for the last time, and then you have the young core looking terrible, and then they drop to 14th. Like, do the Celtics even have a better trade package now? The Pelicans are idiots for not taking that Lakers deadline deal.
Yeah, that doesn't look that great. But at least now, though, like if they... So the counter to that is that now they have the opportunity to really sit down with Anthony Davis and be like, look, man, you and Zion for the next 15 years is going to be a ridiculous combo.
They could try.
They can try. But they couldn't have tried if they didn't get here.
Yeah.
You know? So
it was kind of, you know, honestly, like trade negotiations and whatever aside, I was happy for Pelicans fans about, even though they have been awful to me for the most part in my mentions and in the site's mentions, but like just for them to, like, they went through a lot last year with the Davis thing. That was not their fault. That was their poorly run franchise. Like, Lakers fans should be able to relate to not wanting to be punished because their franchise is poorly run at this point.
Seeing the
Pelican season ticket staffers, I don't know if you saw that video celebrate that, cool. Like, with it, that was really pure, and I was happy for the, like, I'm happy for
it's
people
great
like
that those guys ever. Commissions get to, like, they get to pay their bills and stuff, but like, here's my kind of sort of counter to like this idea that like the Pelicans fans didn't ask for any of this. Like, had they gone to games more often, then they might not have been in this spot. Like, it was funny to me to see NBA Twitter and people in my mentions or the Silver Screen mentions, because I was running that while I was doing that too. It was funny to see this reaction of like, oh yeah, good for the Pelicans, while they were angry about the Lakers potentially moving up. Like, oh yes, you're right. Please do point to the picture of stability that the New Orleans Pelicans have been over the last Anthony Davis' career.
Hey, this is why you were arguing to clean house and get new decision makers, because that's the benefit of the doubt that you get when you bring in a guy like David Griffin. Is like, people are no longer like, oh well, like they're just like, oh, I actually feel kind of bad for Pelicans fans because Dell Demps is probably going to pick the wrong guy. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's just, and also like I think, you know as well as I do, and you've talked about this a lot of times, how there have been a lot of fans that have had their feelings hurt by the Lakers over the years and things like that, and want to see them do poorly.
Yeah.
And I think that among people like that, and like NBA Twitter at large, there had to be a, you got to be kidding me. They just had this last week and this whole coaching search thing, and they just moved up 7 spots in the draft. And like, at the, for a little while, it looked like they might move up to number 1 because we didn't know where they were going to end up in the top 4. Like, can you imagine if they had the last week and then they had gotten Zion?
It'd have been insane.
We would have had to delete all your posts from last week from the site.
No, because they...
No, I would have done it. I'm just saying.
No, like, you wouldn't have.
No, I wouldn't have actually done it. That would have been really unethical for me to do that. But,
no, but like,
I would have wanted to.
It wouldn't change any of, like... It wouldn't change it. Like, this is the one thing the Lakers couldn't screw up.
that's the thing. It's like the old takes exposed type stuff. Like it misses that, you know, you're evaluating this stuff in the moment. Like,
yeah,
you can say that things are a trash fire. And then if they had ended up with Zion Williamson, things would not have been necessarily as much of a trash fire anymore.
Well, this was something the Lakers couldn't screw up. This is completely beyond their control. It's not like the Lakers, like the Rambai, could have been like, all right, so we know we moved up 7 spots, but is there any way whatsoever we can, you know, like do this thing over and see if we can move up to the 3 or the 2 spot?
Kurt hits resim lottery to see if they can get the number 1 pick.
He's still sitting there like, how can
they're
I
like, all right, you can chaos? Keep the pick or you can resim the lottery. And everybody's like, no, don't do it. And he hits it like it's the like button on a butt tweet.
It's like Guardians of the Galaxy 2, right? Where Baby Groot was trying to figure out which button to go with. Yeah. Exactly.
That's Kurt Rambis deciding on Tankathon to resim the lottery.
I am Kurt. So, yeah.
He's had some dumb podcast intros, but this is up there.
Look. We're going to take a quick, the irony here is that this is in the entire first segment.
Oh my God.
but no, this is all you could do after the lottery. Like there is no analysis after this. The analysis after this is really like, wow, holy shit, this actually happened. Right.
Yeah. I honestly was shocked because the odds were so against them. They only had a 9% chance basically to jump into the top 4. And it just felt like, again, I know this is going to piss Lakers fans off that I'm going to say this, but it just felt like karmically the team almost didn't deserve it. The fans deserve it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Those are two separate things. Yeah.
Yes. I'm so happy for all the listeners of this podcast. It almost felt like the team didn't deserve to have themselves vindicated like this. And I remember when it happened, I was like, oh man, like the takes that we're gonna get from Rob Pelinka after this thing, if they end up with Zion, where he talks about that this was foretold, there were many people that were the protesters don't look so smart now, huh? You know?
I can't wait for that. Let's take a break here. When we come back, I want to keep talking. That
Jesus had protesters too.
Oh man. Judas Pelinka. All right, so we're gonna take a quick second here, and when we come back, we're gonna keep talking about this. I want to talk. There are a bunch of things that I want to hit on. So one of the things is going to be the lottery system itself. They flatten out the odds, and I really like the results. Obviously, I want to talk about what the Lakers are. Obviously, this is the billion-dollar question at this point is what the Lakers are going to do with this pick now. I would be shocked if they actually use the pick. I would be surprised. I want to talk about this vibe, like the benefit that this gives the Lakers just in and of itself in a vacuum. So there's a ton that we still have to touch on here. So sit tight for a second. When we come back, we're going to keep on keeping on. I hate it when I do that.
What, the keep on keeping on?
Yeah, it pisses me off so much.
It's just become like a phrase against your will.
Yeah, it just happened. Let's get back to the business of interview. So the Lakers walk away again with the 4th overall pick in shocking form. And in ways that allow us to laugh at everybody once again and kind of puff out our chest again. And I think that's kind of my takeaway here is that for a lot of people, this is a nice palate cleanser for an organization that has spent the last month, right? It's been a month since Magic Johnson did whatever the hell it was that he did. And we haven't heard from the Lakers. They have since parted ways with their coach. Like, there has been very little, and you and I would know this better than just about anybody, there's been very little positive news to relay. And finally, we finally get a little bit of positive news here. And it's great to, you know, it's kind of nice that we have a nice little reset button here and maybe generate a little positive momentum until the next Rambai leak.
Yeah, I was fully prepared to come on here and do my best Stephen A. Smith impression and like scream like he did about the Knicks this morning.
Yeah.
But now I don't have to do that, which is great for my voice.
Yeah. Congratulations. That was always my main concern is
thank you.
How is Harrison's voice going to be?
Yeah.
Let's ask the $1 billion question. Do you think they keep this pick? Do you think they use this pick?
do they use it or do they keep it, I think are kind of two separate questions, but I do, for what it's worth, I do think they move it before the draft. I think that there just seems to be enough momentum building. I mean, you kind of wrote about this for Silver Screen and Roll tonight a little bit, but like, so when you have things happening, like the Lakers ending up with this pick and there being new management in both New Orleans and L.A., so like the people that wouldn't talk to Rob Pelinka are no longer there. We don't know that what David Griffin and Rob Pelinka's relationship is, but it almost certainly can't be worse than the last situation. You would think that the time and distance would have allowed the Pelicans to more accept like that they aren't being forced into a trade. And with new management coming in, that can kind of change the tone of things. Maybe he got a long deal. Maybe he can talk to the Pelicans ownership about how, you know, like
this is actually they need to start a rebuild. Move.
This is actually a good thing that they can sell this now that he's the new guy.
I think that was one of the things that was reported at the time when he was hired, was that he needed to have full reign here to do whatever he considered was important.
Why wouldn't
he demand that? Yeah.
Yeah, and so you take all that into account. You take the fact that they have Zion now, or, you know, they will if David – I don't think David Griffin's an idiot, so they probably will have Zion. I think we could say 99.9%. Mm-hmm. That kind of allows you to sell your fan base a little bit on a rebuild more, because if you trade Anthony Davis out – like, it's not like you're getting Zion for Anthony Davis, but this is the way our dumb human brains work, is we're like, well, still, we got Zion and then whatever the latest trade package is, versus, like, if it was just the Lakers trade package, even though I think you and I probably have a difference of opinion on that trade package versus what Pelicans fans think of it, it still is not as great as the Lakers trade package, whatever that may be, plus Zion. And now the Lakers pick looks better. The Lakers, you know, like Anthony Davis leaked out tonight, his camp leaked out tonight through Shams Charania that he still wants to be out. It just seems like there's a lot of momentum heading towards the deal. Mm-hmm. And I, at this point, like, I would be kind of surprised. And again, I was surprised at the deadline when it didn't get done. Yeah. But I would be kind of surprised if it doesn't get done before the draft. I feel like, or like agreed to in principle with the Lakers selecting for the Pelicans, maybe for cap reasons or whatever, you know, whatever it is.
One other thing I would add to all of that, which I think is spot on. But one other thing I would add to that is David Griffin's relationship with Clutch. I would imagine by the time that the trade negotiations happened, Del Demps did not consider Clutch an ally in any way, shape or form. Right. I wouldn't imagine that he considered them a buddy in any of that in any way, shape or form in that relationship. And David Griffin does have a history with them. He has worked with them. He helped them get LeBron a title when he was GM of the Cleveland Cavaliers. So there is at least a positive aspect of the relationship that these guys can point to and say, okay, this, we've worked together before. Let's see if we can work together again. Right.
Yeah, Griffin was saying everything that he had to say tonight about how they're still intent on keeping Anthony Davis. He has been since he was hired, and he can't, like, just, you know, you have to read between the lines on this stuff. He can't say, I'm not saying he's lying, but he can't say anything other than that. If he says we're looking to trade Anthony Davis, then your leverage goes way down. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of principle. They have to do that. And the other thing that we mentioned earlier, but that we didn't mention when we were talking about all these reasons, is the Celtics pyramid scheme falling apart. And like they're supposed to
blew on the house of cards.
Yeah, they're like their treasure trove of assets turning into a treasure trove of trash. And like, you know.
Rozier, like, it's not like Rozier ever had any kind of trade value, but he like starts the day by going out there and be like, I want out.
I saw somebody point this out on Twitter, and I wish I could give them credit, but it's like, it's normally the accepted decorum for restricted free agents. They have to, since they could theoretically end up back in that place, they almost have to like say nice things about it. But he's just like, he's at this point, he's like, honestly, fuck it. Yeah, and just going on TV, like, I am done. And just going out and trashing the team. They look terrible in retrospect. You had Kyrie trashing all the young guys on his way out the door this entire year, and then looking like he's going to leave, leaving them less leverage to trade for Anthony Davis and feel confident they can keep him no matter what they leak through the Celtics water carriers. And like, it's just, oh man, I feel like I say this like at least once a week on podcasts. I'm not a Lakers fan anymore, but this is still, this appeals to me. I think I've mentioned this before, that the Celtics hatred for whatever reason has lived on. And this, I just hate the way that team's covered. I hate the, like, I don't know. It's just like, this is just chef's kiss. It's beautiful to watch them fall apart like this.
We have about, we have like a minute or so left, a minute and some change left before we have to go to break. Do you want to spend our time just laughing at the Celtics?
Yeah, they could be the new John Wall for today.
All right, 3, 2, 1. Jason Tatum couldn't throw a pee in the ocean, and he's supposedly with all of the Lakers' assets together.
Jaylen Brown started pouting because he's not a go-to option anymore.
Terry Rozier basically went hit him up on the entire franchise, the whole team.
The whole year, they were like, oh, we could get this amazing pick, and then it ended up falling to 14. Lost it on a live stream. He started yelling rigged like
my God.
Second it happened.
Oh, God. 14. The Lakers have their pick is 10 spots better. 10 full spots better. That's like 10 more championships while the NBA has mattered. Oh,
Kyrie basically started a fire in the locker room as he was walking out, and Gordon Hayward sucks now.
Oh man. That felt good. All right, we're gonna take another quick second here. When we come back, we're gonna wrap this thing up with some more talk on a broader scope. So we'll be back for that here in a bit. I want to talk a little bit about the format itself.
Of lottery?
I really like that they flatten out the odds.
Yeah, so did Rob Pelinka in his post-lottery interview. He was like, I think this is going to be a great thing for the NBA. It's like, oh, wow, Rob, I wonder if you'd be saying the same thing.
No, but there's been this kind of like clap back against it that, you know, the Lakers won a few games at the end of the year that they shouldn't have won, and they still walk away with this despite logic, you know, flying in the face of logic while they won those games. And it's like,
that was the whole point of this, you NBA hipsters that were screaming about this.
Yeah. They addressed the problem in a smart mathematical way, and people are still whining about it. Like, the only reason they're whining about it is because the Lakers benefited from it. That's the only reason.
And, well, I guess the Knicks didn't really benefit. They would have been up there anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No, people just want to complain. People were complaining about the blatant tanking. And, like, two years ago, people were complaining. Like, we have the receipts, people. You were complaining about the Lakers blatantly tanking towards the end of seasons, too. And ending up with lottery picks and jumping up in the lottery then. It's like, you know, they flattened out the odds. They reduced the incentives. And this is how it works out sometimes. It's not always going to be the cutesy, like, teams that you want to jump up.
Here's my question. What realistic mathematical way could this have, like, could this not be called rigged?
Oh, you mean, like, no, people are going to complain regardless. I don't think that there's a percentage point that they could put it where if the Lakers jump up, people aren't going to complain.
No, I that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm trying to figure out. So there are complaints now that, like, this was rigged to keep Anthony Davis in New Orleans. This was rigged to
There's no percentage that's going to address those concerns either. Like, those are just people with tinfoil hats on.
Yeah, I guess, like,
my multiple media members in there watching it happen.
Yeah, Zach Lowe was right. He relayed, like, Alvin Gentry dropping F-bombs after they won the lottery.
Which, again, is like, I'm honestly happy for Alvin Gentry. He seems like such a nice guy. Like,
me too. I'm really happy. Like, I'm really happy about the fact that, like, yeah, last season probably sucked. He probably thought he was going to lose his job over it. He goes from thinking he's going to be unemployed to now getting to coach Zion Williamson. That's great.
That's like the opposite of a life comes at you fast.
Yeah. Life actually slows down sometimes. All right. Last thing before we get out of here. Like I said, I don't think that they're going to keep their pick. I think it gets utilized in a trade or something like that. But if they do keep it, and you and I aren't draft Knicks, we don't really know really what's going on.
Okay, I thought you were going to say, what player would you pick? Because I was like, I was not prepared for the question.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask it this way. Like, what... there should be nobody out there who is disappointed that they are in a four spot of a two player draft, right? Nobody whatsoever.
No, because they were supposed to be in 11th.
Yeah.
So it's like, for, I can understand how a team that dropped would be disappointed with this. Like, if you were the Knicks, I understand why Knicks fans are disappointed, even though they're ahead of the Lakers. It's all about perception and expectations going in. And like, the Lakers fans were expecting to look at mid round lottery guys and or mid first round guys, or, you know, close to the front of the first round guys or whatever, like around the 11th pick. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they get to talk about these other guys or a trade. And, you know, like, that's it. Hey, for Silver Screen and Roll, it gives us content for a month that we would not have had otherwise.
I'll take it. I'll more than
write about better players instead of worse players. That's always nice.
I'll at least know who I'm writing about. Like, that'll be kind of nice.
Yeah, I mean, if they had ended up in the top two, I'd have a better sense of who I was writing about. I'm really not a college guy. I could write you, like, a great scouting report on, like, Kyle Allman, but I'm not certain he will be drafted, so.
I feel like one of these days we're just going to hop on here and tell, like, the secret to writing a draft report. So, like,
if don't, you were, no, don't reveal the secret sauce.
Anthony, the Lakers are working out, what's his name, Jarrett Culver? I think that's one of them, right? The Lakers are working out Jarrett Culver. I need like 300 words on Jarrett Culver. Give me what you got. Okay, Google Jarrett Culver, Google stats, Google what other draft picks are saying about him. Repiece it for myself, and ta-da, you're good. Jarrett Culver is a nice, like, pull-up jump shooter who can fit alongside Lonzo Ball and can be a threat in a pick and roll that the Lakers haven't had in a little while. Comes out of Vanderbilt. It's an exciting pick.
Local man admits to plagiarism live on the air on his own podcast.
Not plagiarism. You have to attribute.
No, this. No, I always try to be honest about this. When I don't know someone, I'll go look up someone that, like, does know about them and that I think is reputable and has, like, smart opinions and does their homework, and I'll link out to them and just say, like, for more on information on this guy, like, that, you know, that kind of thing. That's what I have to do a lot of this time of year, because during the year I do not have time to watch college basketball.
Also, like, this is you are a Lakers expert. There are draft experts. We would be stupid to try to make up our own analysis. Like, that's where a lot
of people get. Only God's an expert, Anthony.
Huh?
Only God's an expert, Anthony.
That's a fair point, Chuck. That's a fair point. All right, let's get out of here. I'm not
expecting a fun show tonight. Honestly, I'm just going to be real. When I said yes, I was like expecting, you know, we were going to talk about like what having the 11th pick means, what that could maybe mean for an Anthony Davis trade. Like, I was not expecting to get to laugh at the Celtics for a minute.
Yeah. Well, there's still reason to be concerned or whatever, but one, this is a daily show, so we get to be a little reactionary and we can worry about those things later. Huh? It is perfect.
Yeah, I mean, no, obviously this does not dismiss. I know the last time people heard me was, I think, exactly a week ago, and I was yelling at the dysfunction in this franchise. None of those concerns have dissipated.
No.
I don't think. I think, if anything, they've gotten worse in the week since, you know, in some of the leaks that we've heard about the Rambai and all that stuff, and I'm sure that you'll get into all more of that stuff later this week. There are still concerns, for sure, but they're in a better position. They didn't do anything to earn it or create this of their own, but now we get to see what they can do with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they messed up this new look front office, messed up their first chance to impress us with the coaching search. But who knows? You know, it is theoretically possible that they nail the rest of this offseason.
It is theoretically possible, yes. I will add to that, though, this raises expectations for them, right?
Yeah.
They have been given LeBron, this young core, top four pick, salary cap stuff. Like, just imagine what Bob Myers would be able to do with that, right? Just imagine what Masai Ujiri, Sam Presti, R.C. Buford, name your top-level executive here, right? What they would be able to do with the situation. And the Lakers now have that opportunity. And what this means is, yes, this is great in the moment, and that's what the point of this entire show was. But moving forward, there's a lot on the line here, and there's no reason whatsoever these guys can't pull this off, other than ineptitude, which is all we've seen thus far.
Which is possible. Some would say highly so.
Probable, even.
Yeah.
All right. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you guys very much for hopping on. Well, thank you, Harrison, for hopping on. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. We will be back at it. Pete is a little under the weather, so we'll see what his schedule and what our schedule is looking like moving forward. So send him your well wishes as well. I'm sure getting a top four pick was going to help. He was like, oh, man, I'm ready to go. I'm like, Pete, yeah, I look, we don't need you vomiting on the air. We don't need that.
I'm sure people just loved hearing that audio in their ear. Well, I guess it's better than the audio of Pete throwing up.
It is.
So
it is. So wish Pete well. He'll be back later in the week. But for now, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.